Right now, let's go out to our friend Jasmine Kanick. She is political, social, and media commentator. Jasmine, as always, welcome.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Happy New Year, indeed. And let me get the Twitter handle again. It's just at Jasmine. Is that right?
Yes, it's at Jasmine, Jasmine.
So we're going to start this conversation by talking about Steve Harvey. Now, let me frame this by saying I could understand why Donald Trump or his advisors would want to bring Steve Harvey in or think that he would be a good resource for them, because he's always, I don't know if you watch a lot of Steve, but I've been on a lot of his shows, and he does a lot of preaching from the position of, hey, man, I'm from the street. I don't know anything except what my experience has taught me from the street. So a lot of that coming out of Steve. So doesn't it make sense they'd want to bring him in? No?
I can't second that one.
Okay.
No.
So what I want to know, I want to know why not, and then secondly, why the big backlash? So give me both.
All right. So the idea that the president-elect would reach out to a comedian to help him, as the story when it first broke, it was to address issues within the inner city, that's laughable on its own. I mean, first of all, the issues within the inner city, at least the issues that Donald Trump has spoken about, have a lot to do with violence, right? The violence, the gangs. Sometimes he touched on sort of the employment situation for African Americans. And Steve Harvey just wouldn't be that person. I mean, the messenger matters just as much as the message does. As much as Steve Harvey preaches, as you say, about being from the streets and being from the hood and all of that good stuff, he is very disconnected from the hood and very disconnected from the streets, okay? And so the average person that, quote-unquote, Donald Trump would be using a Steve Harvey to reach out to would look at Steve Harvey and laugh and go on about their business.
So in your article, you say mostly he appeals to people in middle age or beyond.
My parents' generation,
yeah.
And my grandparents' generation.
Yeah.
I mean, and Steve Harvey knows that too. He knows who his fans are. They're the people, for the most part, that, again, Donald Trump claims to want to reach out to aren't watching The Family Feud and aren't huge Steve Harvey fans. And the people who, and believe me, I understand the big issue. I mean, I understand that the people who would be influential, I think, with the group of folks, quote unquote, that he's trying to reach in the inner city, wouldn't touch Donald Trump, right?
Right.
You know, they want no parts of him. But that doesn't mean that you go and choose a Steve Harvey and say, okay, well, here, this is going to be, you know, my conduit to the black community to address the issues in the inner city, and this is going to work, because it's not going to work.
Do you think
my grandparents aren't the ones doing drive-bys? Parents are not the ones. Uh-huh, go ahead.
Do you think that they went down the list and ended up with Steve Harvey, or you think that was their first pick out of the box?
I think that was his first pick out of the box, and one of the things that I touched on in my op-ed about this was that, you know, Donald Trump has proven time and time again that he does know how to think outside the box, right? He thought outside the box in terms of his campaign, how he ran, and most recently with his cabinet picks, as controversial as they may be. And picking someone like Steve Harvey, when you talk about the black community, just follows in that same line of, okay, well, if the black people need a leader, it's going to have to be a male who's presumed heterosexual, over 60. Usually they want someone with reverend or doctor before their name. And we'll, you know, crown that person the leader of all black people. This is 2017, and I would expect more from Donald Trump, especially from a man who claims that, you know, he's going to drain the swamp and he's going to make all these changes and he's not going to be part of the status quo. Choosing a Steve Harvey is choosing the status quo.
Now he already had named Omarosa his sort of liaison to the African-American community or something, or some job like that. Do you think she recommended him to? And by the way, Omarosa is a friend of mine, just like you're a friend. And she was always a big, you know, Trump advocate and fan.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think there's any way that she recommended this or thought it was a good idea?
I haven't seen any stories that says that she had anything to do with this. I've mostly read stories that just say, you know, I actually read something, I think, on USA Today saying that even President Obama's, you know, transition team recommended this, which doesn't surprise me either. But I think regardless of whether or not Omarosa was involved or not, that when it comes to black people, you can't crown somebody like our leader and push that person forward and think that, you know, we're going to just follow and listen to everything that that person says. And I think Steve Harvey is really feeling the backlash. I mean, not to mention his insult to the Asian American community that he's now backtracking on this morning. I mean, in some ways, when I read that, I just said to myself, no wonder, you know, Donald Trump chose him.